And now for an adventure story, a true animal adventure story. As urbanization has advanced across the U.S., so wild animals have been in retreat. Yet just a few years ago, a mountain lion ended up in Connecticut near New York City, where none had been spotted in a century. Cougars still inhabit the American West, especially in the Black Hills of South Dakota and Wyoming, but it's a journey of thousands of miles to reach the East Coast and fraught with peril. Wildlife ecology writer William Stoltzenberg tracks the unlikely journey of this big cat in his new book, Heart of a Lion. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks, Steve.
This is a fascinating book. You know, for years, and I mean many, many years, there's been rumors of mountain lions in the East. And your book, of course, is about this journey of one. So tell us about this particular wandering lion. Where did he come from? What was he like? And what made his journey unique?
Well, yeah. And so in June of 2011, we got this news that this cat had been killed on a roadside in Connecticut, of all places. And so, you know, we all sat up on our chairs, and most of us just dismissed it as perhaps this must be an animal, a pet that's been released. You know, something got out of the zoo or something. But this couldn't be a real honest-to-God wild cougar. But lo and behold, 6 weeks later, the DNA test came back and determined this cat had come all the way from the Black Hills of South Dakota. Now, he was a three-year-old young mountain lion. He had left probably when he was a teenager, about a year and a half old, and set out on this incredible cross-country journey that we believe may have taken him across at least six states, and very likely he went across most of Canada's largest province of Ontario.
Tell me about the circumstances in South Dakota, the Black Hills of South Dakota, that might have prompted this lion to begin his journey.
Well, what we have a situation in the Black Hills of South Dakota is rather unique. It's an island. It's a mountain island that's separated from the rest of the Rockies. And it is one of the most easternmost populations of mountain lions in the country. And what's happening there now is that the place has filled up with mountain lions. There's not room for very many more to go. And as happens with all juvenile male mountain lions, when they come of age, when they're almost of breeding age, they head out. They head out and seek their own territory somewhere. And most of them in the Black Hills tend to head west back into prime cougar habitat. Well, a few of the outliers head in the wrong direction, as it turns out. They head east. We're pretty sure why they're going there. They're looking for mates, as I say, and new territories. But there's this strange trickle of these eastern wandering cats that heads out. And that's where our Connecticut cat started from.
I imagine that any young male lion that heads east looking for a mate is just going to be out of luck. There are no females out east, are there?
There's no females in the east, and they don't go as far as the males. And so this idea that they're on their way, you know, it's just a stepping stone journey, and they're going to be here in 20 years or so. Well, the problem with that is that the females don't make these huge jaunts as males do. Even if they could survive it, they usually don't. You know, to imagine a female doing what our Connecticut cat did in one big leap, it's just, you might as well be plunking your money down on the Powerball. But what that leaves us is this other option, which is going to be a really controversial one, but which I think some of the best minds in Eastern Cougars are thinking has to happen. We're going to have to start carting. We're going to have to think of bringing this starter colony here and helping them along.
And one of the really cool things about your book, Will, is that you use modern DNA techniques to document this journey of this lion from South Dakota to Connecticut. So where's the first sighting of this lion where somebody gets some DNA?
Yeah, well, it happened in the outskirts just west of Minneapolis and St. Paul in a little place called Champlain. And yeah, he showed up near the Mississippi River and was spotted by a police officer crossing the street. He jumped in the cars and went chasing after this thing in the dark and actually got a video of this animal. So we know very well that this wasn't just them seeing something, because we have a very clear video of this thing through a police dash cam of this animal walking through somebody's yard, which is really amazing.
And with the video, what about some DNA?
Yeah, well, they didn't get good DNA on that cat, but as it turns out, he was still heading eastward. And a couple days later, he did leave some DNA. He wound up in this little nature preserve of an industrial section of town in Badness Heights, Minnesota, and he did leave his DNA and some feces.
And why were those who have a vested interest in protecting this lion relieved when he left Minnesota and went to Wisconsin?
The norm for animals doing what this animal attempted to do is to get shot. If they don't get shot, they usually get run over or they just seem to disappear. But none of them have been known to survive. The closest we have to something like that was a cat that in 2008 tried the same thing from the Black Hills and wound up in, of all places, downtown Chicago. And there's dozens other. There's probably more than somewhere over 100, 120 cats that have died trying to make that trip across.
From Wisconsin, the mountain lion, and I guess this mountain lion never really had a name, goes where?
Yeah, and he didn't have a name. I mean, they would name him as he went through town. You know, the local papers would write him up as the Champlain Cougar or the Twin Cities Cougar, the St. Croix Cougar. But yeah, he made it to Wisconsin. Then he headed north. What most people think is that he went through the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and crossed the international boundary and the St. Mary's River.
And so where does he go after that?
So the next place he shows up is in Lake George, New York, in the Adirondacks. He was walking through somebody's backyard in the middle of the night when their motion-sensing floodlight went on, and a lady washing her dishes at the kitchen sink was looking out the window, and the light comes on, and lo and behold, there's a mountain lion. It just so happened that her husband was a retired conservation officer who went out the next morning, and sure enough, they followed this mountain lion's tracks and actually came to a bed where he'd laid and got a hair sample, and that came back positive for this animal linking to the Black Hills of South Dakota.
You know, you'd think the Adirondacks would be actually pretty good territory for a mountain lion. There's a lot of woods there.
This animal kept going for some reason, and we think it's because he simply didn't find any females along the way. And if there had been female lions there, very likely he would have stayed.
So what happens to him? He doesn't find love in the Adirondacks, so he heads...
He heads south. And, you know, from the next time we see him, he shows up 23 air miles from Manhattan Central Park. You know, he's in southern Connecticut. He's in Greenwich, of all places. He starts revealing himself like he hasn't along the whole way. In the middle of the day, he's seen walking across somebody's patio in Greenwich, Connecticut.
And so what happens to him?
Yeah, that's where the story gets sad. A week later, just past midnight, just outside the coastal town of Milford, he was killed. He was struck by an SUV. It's actually, there wasn't many cars on the road, you know, as if when you consider all the different highways he crossed and his many, many miles getting across the United States, he'd overcome all the hurdles. All of a sudden, he just made a mistake and stepped in front of a car on this night, June 11.
How sad.
It was, yeah, I mean, looking back, it's truly a tearful thing when you consider the 18-month trip that this lion made across the country. But the bright side of it is, again, that this lion left an incredible legacy. He left this incredible line of evidence that proved many, many things about mountain lions. He was really quite an ambassador for his species.
Now, in your book, you document that not only did this mountain lion get all the way from South Dakota to Connecticut, but he had to get through a gauntlet of people out with guns looking to kill animals like him.
Yeah, you know, it's an unfortunate situation that in his home state, they have a hunting season, they have a limited hunting season on the Black Hills itself, but in the rest of the prairie, for all those animals that are trying to escape, it's year-round. You can shoot an animal year-round. There's no limit.
You said the other direction they go is west, and you write about California where people don't shoot mountain lions. Why is that?
Well, 30 or 40 years ago, the Californians voted against it. They decided years ago that they were not going to shoot their lions, and the citizenry upheld that several times. California has the most people and the most mountain lions of any state that has mountain lions, okay? They don't have the most conflicts. They don't have the most attacks. They don't have the most livestock loss to them. So the idea that most other states go by is that we really need to shoot these animals to keep them in their place, to protect people and their livestock. California is the antithesis of that.
Now, what does the research say about sport hunting's effect on preventing mountain lion attacks?
Well, you know, there was a panel of blue chip lion experts who looked at this situation 10 years ago, and, you know, they gathered all the evidence they could, and they just could not find any science to back this idea that sport hunting in any way makes people safer or livestock safer.
What do you think can be done, if anything, to shift long-held attitudes towards mountain lions?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that that's happening right now. And I'm hoping that maybe if the plight of the Connecticut lion gets a little more attention, thank you, that people will realize that there's a different beast out there than the one that we've been told by the media oftentimes.
Well, it's really interesting to talk about this because I spend some time, obviously, in wild places when I can. And one of those places includes the Allagash, where there's a guide who swore to me, not once, but at least twice, he's seen these in Northern Maine, just across the border from Quebec there.
Okay. And here's my answer to that. He could be right and he could be wrong, but here's why I think he could be right. Again, we have thousands of these animals being held in captivity across the country. And this is often what happens when people realize they've got a cat that they can't take care of or they're tired of it. They don't realize that this is what it was going to take when they're, you know, a 10-pound little pussycat turns into a 140-pound mountain lion, they let it go in places where they think, oh, here's a good place for them to go. Unfortunately, they don't often survive. Now, here's another thing that makes me think he could be wrong. There are stories like that everywhere you go in the East. You can talk to some of the best naturalists across the eastern half of this country, and they will swear up and down that they have seen these animals. And 99% of the time, when biologists actually follow up on a lot of these so-called sightings, they come to the conclusion there's some other animal. And then there's a whole other class of sighting out there, which is, you know, which is under the hoax category. And there's a whole bunch of people out there who really like to fool us by posting stuff on the internet.
And Will, before you go, what do you make of this notion that maybe a starter colony should come east?
You know, I don't see why not. And I think it's just a matter of time. I think people are nervous, of course, because, you know, again, we haven't lived with these animals for over a century now. So it's really a strange thing to imagine them doing it. All you have to do, though, is go to California and you'll talk to people on trails that, yeah, I don't think much about it anymore. They're here, and that's fine. And so we can have mountain lions here, but it's going to be a big political fight to make it happen.
William Stolzenberg is a wildlife writer and author of Heart of a Lion, A Lone Cat's Walk Across America. Thanks so much, Will, for talking with us today.
Thank you, Steve.